And now we have a new interviewee that we're speaking with, and that would be Courtney Snyder, who is Associate Director of Bands and a conductor and conducting teacher here at University of Michigan. Welcome, Courtney.
Thank you for having me. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, you are our penultimate interview for this afternoon. We've talked with a lot of folks, and usually I start out by some way getting to know you a little bit better. Can you tell us a little bit of your history and coming to teach here?
Sure. So I initially, my background is music education initially, but I knew that I would love conducting before I ever started. I'm from Pennsylvania originally, so my initial training was at a state school in Pennsylvania. I actually taught high school for 6 years here in Michigan.
Wow.
I taught in...
That was good prep, right?
It was. You learn how to really rehearse. You learn, of course, all the instruments. You have to make sure everybody's doing what they need to do. It's an actual real joy to be able to work with the students and kind of see them grow in a real formative time before they get to college.
Wow.
You really get to see them kind of come into their own person.
Now, did you say how long you've been here?
This is my 10th year here at the University of Michigan.
Wow, 10 years. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you have a couple of concerts coming up. We were talking about this off the mic, but some stuff going on with the bands.
Sure. So we have our really big annual concert, Bandorama, which is coming up on Sunday, October 22nd. So I conduct the concert band. Typically, that's my role. But I'll also be working together with John Pasquale and Richard Fry. We'll all be conducting symphony band.
Mm.
And then the marching band performs in the second half. So that's always a big show. If you come, obviously love the marching band. You want to go see them as well. But we get to really bring all of our band students together for that concert.
Most people think of the marching band in terms of a football game, right?
Right. In this one, they're in Hill. They get to actually run down the aisles. They're doing their entries onto the field, but they're just entering onto the stage.
Yeah.
It is a loud environment, so it's always wise to bring some earplugs for when the marching band is playing.
So teaching conducting, I mean, that must be a challenge in that you have to sort of assess what level all of your students are at and find a way for them to express and communicate on the podium.
Yes. Yeah, so a lot of the students that I teach are also the first year students. So they're undergraduate students. They might be music ed majors, or they might just want to learn how to conduct a bit more, or sometimes they have it required for the classes. So you're taking that element, which is, I always actually kind of enjoy it because they, in their mind, think that conducting is no big deal. I've been working with conductors forever. They've been playing in ensembles since they were in middle school. And then all of a sudden they're like, wow, this is harder than I thought.
Mm-hmm.
So I always enjoy that little bit of a moment when they go, oh my gosh, like it's hard to be specific and to communicate a musical idea and not just conduct time. When you're working with the graduate students, it's learning how to trust themselves, how to get really nitpicky about exactly what it is that you want here. What do you want this music to feel like? What are you trying to communicate? Where is this phrase going? Can you do that with your gesture, not just with your words?
Well, it's a fascinating subject. I know that you brought in some music with you. You want to tell us about this Joseph Schwantner piece?
Sure. This piece happens to be one of my bucket list pieces. The first time I heard it, I was an undergrad, and I remember my jaw just kind of dropping and landing on the floor, and I was thinking, I never knew music could sound like this.
Mm.
The way the piece is structured, I think, is quite brilliant. So he uses a lot of, well, first of all, there doesn't feel like there's time going on. It's very ethereal sounding initially, at least in terms of time. There's tons of percussion. There's a lot of open parrot-like fifths, so it feels like, what's happening here? We're creating an atmosphere, but you don't feel the forward motion of music the same way you normally do. There's crystals. So you hear people are ringing crystal goblets and they're creating this sort of high-pitched ethereal sound.
Yeah.
Eventually they start singing and there's even whistling. So those colors are obviously unusual within any scape of an instrumental ensemble. But the piano is actually taking on a really big role here. So you hear this very initial, there's a septuplet happens about a few seconds into the piece. And that is really the core element that this piece is gathered around. It's these seven notes. And I love that it's in the piano. The piano is actually amplified, which is, so it shows you how important it needs to be.
Yeah.
And everybody congeals around that. And it's very atonal to start. You do hear some elements that sound slightly tonal. There's tonal centers, but it progresses on and eventually it does become tonal, which is when the piece is called And the Mountains Rising Nowhere. The mountains really do rise out of nowhere. All of a sudden it feels like, wow, we're in tonality here. We're all in the space. The horns get this glorious melody. And then as soon as that's done, it's angry. It's like the birds are flying around. It almost feels a little Alfred Hitchcock or something.
Yeah.
It has just this real sonic landscape that takes you everywhere. In some ways, it kind of makes me think, like, you know, how Mahler can change on a dime when you're listening in a symphonic piece. This definitely does that as well. But it has this real trajectory that to me feels really very measured, and it feels satisfying. So it opens and begins in sort of this, well, it's not quite to start, but it has this ethereal, you hear the singing, you hear the crystals, but in the middle, it's the real mountain. So even the piece is shaped in some ways kind of like a mountain. It has a big rise and then a big fall.
Well, you make it sound so fascinating. We probably only have time to play a selection from
it,
but we will sample it and look forward to hearing the rest of it maybe elsewhere.
Yes, so the rest of it will be played. Symphony Band is actually performing this on Thursday, October 26th.
Yeah.
So we have a lot of great music on that concert, but this piece happens to be on this concert as well.
Well, here's a little teaser, part of And the Mountains Rising Nowhere, music of Joseph Schwantner. Courtney Snyder, conducting professor, associate director of bands here at U of M. Thank you so much for spending time with us today.
Thank you very much.